Those remaining in here can go to Genesis chapter 44. I've been asked by actually several if I would teach Revelation again. And I think I'm going to do it if I live. If I hang around here, we're going to finish Genesis pretty quick. But if I hang around here, I think I will. And anybody wants to get ahead on that, Scotty Hurd, that little guy right over there with that black hair. About 40 years ago, I taught Genesis, and somebody brought one of those little cassette recorders and set it on a table. And it wasn't a very good recording, but with his magic, he cleaned it all up. You can actually hear it. You can understand it. And I've been enjoying listening to it again. So you want to get ahead, go on the church website and look up the book of Revelation. And like I said, it's about 40 years ago, but I don't think I've changed much in my interpretation of it in the last 40 years. Anyway, let's look at chapter 44, verse 16, and let's stand. I'll read the first verse, you read the second, and we will go on that way till the end of the chapter, if that's all right with you. All right, we're going to start with verse 16. I'll read it. And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? How shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found."
"God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, give you up in peace unto your father."
Then Judah came near unto him and said, "O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh."
"My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or brother?"
And we said unto my Lord, "We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him." And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die." "And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord." "And we said, We cannot go down, if our youngest brother be not with us. Then will we go down, for we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us."
"And thy servant, my father, said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me two sons.
And the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since."
"And if they take this also from me, and mischief befall him, he shall bring down my gray hairs
Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life."
"It shall come to pass, when he see that the lad is not with us, that he will die, and thy servant shall bring down the grave of thy servant or our father with sorrow to the grave."
"For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever."
"Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, homage to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren.
For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for so great a salvation. We thank you for so much light on how we can live a wonderful and productive and satisfying life and how we can have eternal life. Thank you for all that you've given us. Bless this word today to each of our hearts. Give me freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. Make the Holy Spirit use this word in each of our lives. I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. We know the story. It's a famous story, a wonderful story, and one of my favorites in the Bible, actually. And Joseph is just such an exemplary character. As a child, he evidently was a very obedient child. As a man, he was a man of character, a man of his word. And then going through all the troubles that he went through, 13 years of slavery and servanthood and prison, and yet it didn't turn him bad. It didn't turn him angry. And yet he's got his brothers now, and already the dreams that he had have come true. His brothers have come down and bowed to him twice. And he sees them there, and he's thinking about all of this. And he wonders, have my brothers changed? And so he gives them a series of tests, and we've come up to this now as the last one of the tests. They come in to buy food. They bring their money back. He takes their money. I mean, his servant does. And takes their money and puts it back in the sack with the food. And they load it up, ready to go. And the servant also took a silver chalice or cup or something like that of Joseph's and put it in Benjamin's sack. And so they head out. They had not gone very long. And Joseph says, go get them. They went out there and they started, went down to the last, and all of a sudden the cup's found in Benjamin's sack. Wow. These guys are devastated. And you remember we've noticed last week two or three times they say, God has found us out. I mean, they've come to the place they say, God's not letting us get away with what we did to our other brother 13 years ago. They were jealous of him. They were angry with him. They didn't like him because he was always on their father's side instead of their side. And he was a godly man. And because of that, you know, there's just a lot of people don't like you. You can pray all you want to, just don't pray in the name of Jesus. Have you noticed that? Well, what's wrong with that? Well, the world hates Christians. They do. And if you stand out as a Christian, you're putting a cross on your back, an arrow. Aim, a place to aim. So here's Joseph. He's God's man. Been God's man since he was a kid. And now then he's over the land of Egypt and he's controlling all these things. And here is his family in order to live, coming out of Palestine and going into Canaan and going into Egypt to buy food. And he recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. And so he's carried a test or two. Now, the last time, he took Simeon, put him in jail. Now, I don't know how long it took for them to make those trips. I think it must have been a little while. I don't know how long Simeon was in jail. He might have been in jail a year. Because they waited because Jacob would not allow them to take Benjamin with him. Jacob's favorite wife, the one he fell in love with at the very start, was Rachel. It wasn't Leah. But his father pulled a trick on him, and he gave him Leah as his first wife. And then he worked 14 years for both of them, but that's how much his love for Rachel was that was as nothing to him. Sure, he'd work that out. Well, all he's got left of Rachel is Benjamin. Because Joseph, 13 years ago, was considered dead. And his brothers had taken him. They were planning on killing him. And it was Judah that said, don't kill him, sell him. Let's make some money off this. So Judah was the one that brought that up. And they sold him. And he cried. He pled with them, don't do this to me. And they remember his tears. They remember his anguish when he brought that up. So now then, he's got them to bring their brother, the only son of Rachel left, with him. So he's got to see him. And when they come, It's an amazing thing. He sets them out in a meal in his house. He puts them in order of their age, the birth. And then when he gives out presents, he gives all of them a nice change of clothes. And then he gives Benjamin 5 changes of clothes. But they haven't caught on yet. They haven't caught on yet. Jacob is wanting to know what you will do with my brother. Why? Because of what they did to him. Now, he's not malicious in this. Several times he could have been really malicious and really made them pay back, but he didn't. And here he is. He's going to test them again. Okay, he knows the situation between the father and the brothers. And he insisted they bring down Benjamin so he could have this test. So they load them up with their food. They let them take out, and the servant goes after them, and he goes through the baskets of food or sacks of food. And when they come there, here's Joseph's silver cup or chalice or whatever. And he gives them the story. Don't you know that I'm a guy like me can divine this, you know, like he was a seer or something like that. And, oh, man, these guys are in trouble, and they know it, and they think, we can't get away. Every time they come down here, they've got their troubles coming up in their face. And it's God. God is bound up in this, the judgment. God found out the iniquity of thy servants. Now, first of all, Judah said, well, we'll all be your servants. Joseph said, no, that wouldn't be right. God forbid that I do something like that. Whoever has my cup, that'll be my servant. Oh, man, that's a problem for Judah. Because he didn't make a stupid statement like Reuben did. Reuben said, well, just kill my two sons. What grandfather's going to kill his own grandsons because his son disappoints him? I don't even know why Reuben came up with it. But Judah said, I'll be responsible. And I'll bear the blame if I don't bring him back. And so Jacob had let him go with him. Now then, Judah says here, verse 18, came near and him said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears. He said, you ask us if we had a father or a brother. And we said, yes, we got a father, an old man, a child of his old age, and a little one. And he alone is left of his mother. His father loveth him. And then it says, verse 22, we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. Now we still have the favoritism of Israel, Jacob. And that's part of what his problem was with Joseph. He was such a favorite son. He showed it so much in so many ways that his other brothers felt jealous and envious. Well, he still got the same thing. They said his life is bound up in that son. We're 10 other sons. We're grown men. We've got our own kids and grandkids, and we're making our life. But Jacob and Israel, still, his life's bound up with this little boy, young man at any rate. And so he said, We wanted to see the little one. I'm trying to find my verse. Look at verse 30. The last phrase of it. Seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life. It shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. Is that a change? I guess it is. They weren't worried about what their dad thought. They weren't worried about how much they would hurt their dad. They didn't know what was going to happen to their dad whenever they sold Joseph. They didn't care. They just wanted to get rid of Joseph. And it didn't bother them. But now they've had 13 years to see the sorrow of their father. I look sometimes at some of the homes and lives that even I've had good contact with or that I see on TV or something like that. And I think these poor kids don't stand a chance. They don't stand a chance. Their mother doesn't love them. Their dad doesn't love them. They don't provide for them. They just do not give them a chance. Did you have a good mother and dad? I did. I had wonderful people to be my mother and father. And I look out at some people and I think, wow. I don't know that we know all the story, but here just a while back here in San Antonio, some ladies' kids are chained like dogs in the backyard. Come on. Go live in the backyard with them at least. You know, you may be very poor. I don't know how poor you are. But good night. Think about somebody else. Those brothers didn't think about anything but their jealousy and hatred of Joseph. And maybe in their heart, if they thought, well, that's God, we'll defeat God's purposes, you know. In our wicked minds and our lost minds, we sometimes think we can fool God. You can't fool God because He sees everything, knows everything. If you get that in your head, it will stop you from doing a lot of things. And let me tell you another thing. All through this and throughout the Bible, selfishness is really shown. How selfish. I think about most of the problems that have come to me in my 59 years of preaching the gospel, and basically it's selfishness. I want my way. I don't care about my wife or I don't care about my husband. I want my way. It's just a whole lot of selfishness. And what you got to deal with in your kids is selfishness. Well, that's what these brothers had. They weren't worried about their dad. They weren't worried about his happiness. They weren't worried about Joseph and his happiness. Nothing but selfishness. I want what I want, and I don't want him being blessed anymore, so let's curse him. And they did. God let them. And in fact, Joseph later on, chapter 2 down the line, going to say, God sent me here. He'd come to the place to believe that God had directed those things. Anyway, what do we have? We have the guy that said, let's sell him, make some money off of him. Who wouldn't hear his cries, wouldn't hear his pleas, wouldn't stand up and defend him. But then he's seen 13 years of what it did to his dad. Now, you know, I'll bet you that aged his dad. I bet they could see it in his face. I bet they could see it in his walk. I bet they could see it in his prayers. They could see it a lot of ways. You ever done somebody bad and seen the results of your selfishness, stupidity, sin? You know, sometimes that can change your mind. You might think, I really don't ever want to do that again. I've heard some of the lives of the greatest generation, my parents' generation. And those that went through World War II and some of our soldiers now that have been in Iraq and Afghanistan and these other places, and they've killed. And sometimes it really bothers them. They're bothered by it. Well, you don't think these boys have been bothered for 13 years as they watched a fairly happy man be brought down by the loss and the death of that son? They've changed. They woke up. And you notice, every time they've mentioned in here, and we've seen it three or four times now, they said, God hath found us out. God has paid us back. God knows what we did. Hey, just a real good lesson for you today. God will find you out. God knows what you do. You're not going to mess with God. You can lie to me and I'll listen to you and I'll believe you because you're my friend. You're in my church. I think, well, you wouldn't lie to me. Yeah, right, huh? I've had parents actually come up when I was teaching school and say, my child would not lie. I even had a young teacher say, no child would lie. And I thought, you need to raise about three or four of them. They'll all lie. You say, oh, no. Yes, they will. You will lie. No. Yes, you will. The Bible said all men are liars. I tell you what, we don't like facing up to the truth, do we? Well, anyway, his life is bound up in the lad's life. He will die. He'll bring his gray hairs down with sorrow to the grave. Now, I became surety for the lad. If I don't bring him unto him, I'll bear the blame forever. Look at verse 33. Now, therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. Wow. Have you ever thought about what it would be to give yourself over to be somebody's slave? Voluntarily. That's a big move. You talk about a big... This is not the Judah we recognized before. Yeah, he's a big, tough guy. Yes, he's pretty much of a leader. And he's going to be an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to come through Judah. But here he's saying, I will be your bondman. Let the lad go back to his dad. That's 13 years of growth, brothers. That may be 13 years of repentance. That may be 13 years of sorrow. 14 or 15 by this time, because the famine had been going for several years. You know, Joseph has got his answer. He's got his answer. They've changed. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know what? I'm so thankful that God changes people when he saves them. I am so thankful that I got changed. Are you thankful you got changed? I have two verses that I always use at a Christian's funeral and that I think of continually in my own life. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This old stuff about your loved ones laying in the grave somewhere, they're not there. They're not there. And then when Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, to be with Christ is far better. Now, he loved life. He liked preaching. He liked doing what he was doing. And he did a great work. But what did he say? Far better. Whatever you can enjoy in this life, I'll tell you what, when you're with the Lord, it's going to be far better. So if you've got a loved one that's gone on to be with the Lord, well, they are with the Lord. They're not in a grave somewhere. That's just the old remains of the body. You wouldn't want it right now, I'll tell you for sure. And you wouldn't feed it. You wouldn't care for it. You wouldn't bathe it. You wouldn't want it right now. That's just the old body. Forget it. That's nothing. That's not him. That's not her. And to be with Christ, far better. Bernine wouldn't come back today. Not on your life. She'd say, man, this is far better. Hey, Lindell, I'm waiting on you, but it's far better up here, you know. Think about that. That's your future. He said, don't fear them that kill your body. Well, what most of us do is fear people who might kill our body. That's why we have concealed handgun licenses. So you can stop somebody from killing your body. And yet, an old friend of mine, somebody stuck a gun in his face and he said, do you know you're threatening me with life? That's the truth. You're threatening me with life. You're going to send me on to a better life. Wow. Okay, what we've got right here is Judah saying, I cannot go to my father, and the lad be not with me. Lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come in my own my father. You know what happened? They got 13 years to see that old man cry, mourn, grieve, and it sure didn't make their life better. No. It didn't help them. Their life was worse off without Joseph than it was when Joseph was around. That's something. Okay, look at chapter 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." There stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard, and Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. In these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not." Wow. Wow. Of course, they're not free. You know, when you're guilty, it just hangs around. It really does. And so he's telling, "Don't worry about it. Everything's all right. Boy, it's all good now." And they say, "Ooh, what you going to do with us?" And even later on down, they still have it. But here he is saying, "Man, God sent me here to preserve life." Now, why do you reckon God did that? This family is an important family. Have you noticed in the Bible in Genesis? We start out with Adam and Eve. We come down to the two brothers. And Abel's the good one, and Cain's the bad one, and Cain kills Abel. And then it says she bare again. Now this is a woman that lived maybe 900 years with the perfect body. She didn't have any failures in her system. She bore a lot of children. She bore a lot of sons. She bore a lot of daughters. They're just not mentioned. They're not important. She has another son, Seth. She just didn't have three sons. Seth is the spiritual seed. Out of Seth's family is going to come a man by the name of Abraham. And a man that's the father of the faithful. Here's the beginning of real faith in the Lord and understanding him. And God counted it for salvation. And my salvation, when I called on the Lord, goes back to Abraham. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. 1957 in Roswell, New Mexico, I believed God. And God counted that for righteousness. He saved my soul. He changed my life. He gave me eternal life, and I'm a son of God and an heir of heaven. Praise God. Amen. That goes back to Abraham. Look in Romans. You all really ought to read John, and you really ought to read Romans about 10 or 15 times till you understand both of them. Then try to understand the ark going through the wilderness. That was supposed to be a joke. Evidently, it wasn't a very good one. But at any rate, what we have here, God is preserving this lineage. Because when you get on down, and it's very interesting, the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, either through Mary or through Joseph. But he come out of David. David comes out of Judah. And Judah came out of Jacob, Israel. And he came out of Abraham. And Abraham came out of Seth. We're looking at one family. Why is that one family so important? One man. One baby. Jesus Christ. That's Amen. Why he's so important.
Amen.
God is protecting this family, this nation. Do you realize the Jews have probably been more persecuted than any other peoples in the world? You might not like that, but it's the truth. You ever see the movie The Last of the Mohicans? What they're saying is there's no more Mohicans. Are there any Hittites running around? I don't know of any Hittite nation. You know of a Hittite nation? I don't know of any Hittite nation. There have been a lot of families that have just disappeared. They've been amalgamated. They've been interwoven and whatever with all families. Till they've just disappeared. They're now Scottish or English or American or they're whatever. The Jews haven't disappeared. You might ought to think about that. The Jews have not disappeared. And let me tell you what, there's a lot of churches that teach and a lot of preachers that teach and a lot of commentaries that teach that God is through with Israel and the church gets all the promises in the Bible that went to Israel. That's not true. Israel's still here. I'll admit most of them are atheists. They really are. Most of them are not, they're not looking for Christ, don't believe He's come, don't believe the Bible, and after the Holocaust, they felt like that God had deserted them, and many of them really had a bad time. So they turned against God. That doesn't make a bit of difference. God Almighty is going to save a whole nation of them. And all the promises that God gave in the Old Testament to Israel are going to be fulfilled. The church is not Israel. The church is the bride. The bride of Christ. That's what you are. And if you happen to be of Jewish blood and you're in the church and you're saved, you're not counted with Israel anymore. You're counted with the church. You've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Wow. What blessings, what tremendous blessings. Man, Joseph has broke down. He's very emotional. He's crying. He's hugging his brothers. And he's trying to convince them he's Joseph. And they can't hardly believe it. They're scared to believe it. Isn't that something? It's an amazing story. Just an amazing story. I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? Joseph wanted to see Israel. He wanted to see his dad. Can I go see my dad? I've missed him these last 13, 15, 16 years, whatever it is. And so he got him down there. God did send me, verse 5, God did send me before you to preserve life. God sent me to preserve you a posterity in the earth. God made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Now you talk about a wonderful story. And one that when things went bad, and bless your heart, I would not want to go through any one of the bad things he went through. I'm thankful for the life that I had. I had a sister that actually loved me. How about that? I had a sister that loved me. I had a parents that loved me. Praise God. I ended up with a wife that loved me. Amazing. Some of you guys think it's amazing too, don't you? I had a wife that loved me. I got kids that love me. Man, did I have a good day Saturday. Eddie called me up and said, you eating yet? No. I want to take you out for breakfast. I said, okay. So I got dressed, got ready. He came over, took me out, fed me breakfast. At lunch, I went to eat with Brian and Billy. And we do that most every Friday. And then in the afternoon, Jim and Archie Campbell, friends for over 50 years, they said, we're going to take you out to eat. I said, okay. I just ate out all day long. Every once in a while you get a good day, you know. And then the night, my daughter, the Friday night, she came over and said, we're not going to wait till Saturday to mow the lawn, we're going to mow it now. So they mowed it in the dark. So they could sleep late on Saturday morning. Hey, that was a good day. Praise the Lord. You get some good days out of these things. Now, he's the Lord of all Egypt. God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And he says in verse 11, there will I nourish thee. Come on down. I'm going to put you in the land of Goshen. I'm going to nourish you. Can he? Can he? Have you ever had people promise you things they can't do or you know they're not going to do? Amen. Oh, I have. Yeah. I tell you, Joseph could do what he said he was going to do. He's Pharaoh. He's Pharaoh. He's the literal boss of the biggest, strongest country in the world. Yes, he can nourish him. He can take care of him. And he puts them down there in the land of Goshen, and they've got the best land of Egypt. And he's taking care of them all the way through. Look at verse 13. He said, and ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and all that you have seen, and shall haste and bring down my father. Verse 15, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. After that, his brethren talked with him. Now, here's a family reunion. Pretty good family reunion. You got 12 brothers, and they're all there. You don't have one dead. You don't have one missing. All 12 brothers are there, and they are having a tremendous reunion. And you know what? Joseph could do it now. He has proved them over and over again. And that was just exactly right for him to do. Proved them over and over and over again. And this especially. What will they do about my father? Do they care about my father? Is my father important to them? Or is it like before, you know? Doesn't matter what father, his father's favorite, well, let's just get rid of him so he won't have his favorite. Or, what about my brother? My little baby Benjamin. What about him? Are they going to treat him like they treated me? No, he's testing them. These men have changed. I'm glad I've changed. Are you glad you've changed? I am glad. For the verses of scripture, the doctrinal stands, the position that I've learned from the word of God, he's changed me. Has he changed you? Let me tell you what, you take a look at your life real good. If he hasn't changed you, you're not saved. If he hasn't changed you, I don't care if he joined a church, you went down and got baptized, you went down and made a profession of faith, and you go to church every Sunday. When the Holy Spirit comes in your heart, he changes you. You're going to be guilty when you do some of the things you do. Well, you didn't even hardly feel guilt when you were lost. Now you feel guilt. You know that man, I'm wrong. I've done wrong, and you've changed some things. Now, I'm not saying that you got to be like me or I've got to be like you, but I want you to know that the Holy Spirit changes people when he saves them. Now, have you been changed? If you've been changed, you maybe have a good sign that you're saved. Do you love God? Do you love the Bible? Do you love the children of God? Or is church just a big bore for you? Is church just, like you're paying God off by coming to church and suffering? No. I do not have to make plans to go to church on Sunday and Wednesday. I don't have to make plans. That's already a given. That's what I'm going to do. You know, it's not a decision I make every week. The decision's been made almost 59 years ago. Wow. And you know, it hadn't changed much. I got changed. My mind and my mindset got to where I knew God was with me every day of my life and nothing I could do to hide it. You ever want to do something but you wanted to hide it? You don't stand a chance as a Christian, do you? God's inside of you everywhere you go. In the dark, He's inside of you. You might fool me, but you can't fool God. Well, here it is. They're taking a look at this and they say, God, they've said it a couple of times, God has found out the iniquity of thy servants. So Joseph, he says, well, my brothers have changed. You go tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and all that you have seen. And then look over in verse 19. Now thou art commanded this, do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives and bring your father and come and regard not your stuff. Don't worry about bringing your furniture. For the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. Wow. He just made Benjamin rich. He just made Benjamin rich. He's taking care of his brother. All right. And he sent all of these asses laden with food, and he sends wagons down. And look at verse 26. And told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Talk about giving a heart attack. I sometimes feel. Thank you. Turn that phone off. I sometimes tease people about being backslidden, and I shake their hand, and, you know, whatever. And I look like I'm having the big one, the big heart attack, because they actually showed up to church, you know. Joseph did. Jacob did. He about had the big heart attack when all of these wagons come in and the stories that are being told him, what Joseph has done and where he is, he almost couldn't stand it. What a surprise. For 15 years, you've thought that son was dead, and that son's up there ruling the biggest, richest country in the world. Wow. How about some good news? I don't know that any of us ever got any better news than that. He had some good news. Beautiful thing. He is alive. He's the governor of all the land of Egypt. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. He's an old man. He doesn't have the energy he used to have. I was watching one of my little great-granddaughters walking in the door, and she walked over to her father, and she's just jumping up and down. She just can't sit still. She's just jumping up and down. And I thought, what happened to my energy? I don't want to jump up and down. But she's just having such a ball, and she's just smiling and laughing and just, I'm talking just jumping up and down. Where'd your energy go? Hey, Jacob got revived. Jacob got revived. He said, my son is alive. Man, what a blessing. You thought he's dead for 15 years, 16 years, whatever it is. You went through all of this sorrow, and now then he's alive. Wow. That's good news. Amen? All right. God bless you.